I'm still working on syphilis. Our wines leave you nothing to hope for. Boots of Ascension in the Hours of Repose.
That'll make the cut.
There's your snippet.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
I'm Max.
And this is episode 132 of the award-winning Countless Screaming Argonauts podcast.
Today the podcast of record.
The podcast of record. Today is Monday, March 22nd, 2010. And we have, we've got a bunch of good stuff to talk about tonight, as always.
We got stuff.
We got stuff.
Too much to cram into one little half hour.
That's right. So much we should probably do 5 shows a week.
Probably should, yeah. Do you think we could fill up 5 shows a week?
Yeah, I don't think we'd have any trouble at all.
Have we ever
had any trouble filling up a show?
Nope.
I mean, even if we just sat there and called each other names, it would be fun.
By Thursday, it would be funny anyway.
It would be. Well, listen, I got a couple of updates to previous Countless Screaming Argonauts issues.
I like CSA updates.
Okay. Now,
By the way, because it seems to be a habit now for me to announce what I'm drinking, I'm back to the Cranberry Bog, although I was at Montezuma, at the Montezuma Winery this weekend, and I picked up a different red and the Pintail Champagne. I had this one open, so I thought I'd go with it.
There you go. All right. Well, you're a lot funnier when you're drunk. Mm-hmm. Well, we're a lot funnier when you're drunk.
And
or people think we're funnier when they're drunk.
That's right.
One of those things is true.
And I'm not nearly drunk enough yet, so I think I better knock this back in a hurry.
All right.
What do you got?
Okay, so the first one is, this is an update of a story that we did a while ago. This is going back a few months. Do you remember we talked about the school that had hired somebody to structure recess for the kids? Do you remember that?
No, actually, I don't think I do.
Well, it was a small discussion. We were talking about, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I brought it up as a news bit that I had read that there was a school in Chicago, I think, that had hired somebody to help them structure downtime for the kids.
Okay.
And stuff. And we talked a little bit about it. Well, the follow-up to that is that now the Broadway Elementary School in New York has hired a company called Playworks, which is a nonprofit.
That's interesting.
That runs a recess program at the elementary school based on an $18 million grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And basically, there's no more sitting around after lunch, no more goofing off with friends, no more doing nothing. Every day, the kids have their recesses in the morning and the afternoon and after lunch structured.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, one of the comments by one of the parents was that she had seen the woman breaking up a renegade game of hopscotch and making the kids do other stuff.
I wonder what other stuff means.
Well, other stuff, she has them doing structured games, basically. The article doesn't go into, like, explicitly what the games are, just that they are – you know, well, a Dr. Barrows from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine completed a study, and he said that structured recess simply translates the rules of the classroom to the playground. He says you have to pay attention, you have to follow rules, you don't have time for your brain to relax, and kids need time for their brains to relax.
Yeah, well, that was my first kind of gut reaction to it. Why would you break up a rogue game of hopscotch?
Right, right.
We're talking about, you hear it more and more, you know, kids are not active enough. Hopscotch is active. That's a good thing. I talked about, we used to play Hilldil at lunchtime when I was a kid.
Right.
Which basically involved running back and forth across the parking lot trying to catch John Cozell.
who's one of Fast Kids. I remember you telling that story.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a lot of activity, even uh-huh. even for John Cozzell. By the time he ran through, you know, 20 boys, even he had to get tired out a little bit.
Yeah, well.
So I think, well, it's all about activity. I mean, we know now that kids are too sedentary.
Right.
And you know,
if they're out there playing hopscotch, they should be allowed to play hopscotch.
Exactly. Absolutely. Passionately.
Right. All right. Well, I think that's sort of what we said the first time. So I just found it interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now my second update. Now this you're going to remember. We did a chronicle about this.
Okay.
Did a chronicle about the mayor of Moscow, who said with the help of the Russian Air Force he was going to use cloud seeding.
Oh yeah, that one I remember.
To make the snow not fall on Moscow.
Right, and we figured all the people west of Moscow were probably
going to
get pissed off about it. Yeah.
Well, the final tallies are in.
And
the question is, did the mayor vanquish Mother Nature as he predicted he would? Well, the headline of the UPI story says, Moscow sees record amounts of snow.
Wow. So...
An estimated 12,000 snow-clearing machines were deployed after a March 23rd storm that broke the record, single record snowfall for Moscow with nearly 25 inches of snow, and that they had received, I don't know, 70 inches for the month of February?
Yeah,
some
good.
Ridiculous number like that. Good. So he was wrong.
Now, did we know that the guy – ran the assault on the weather?
We don't. He said he was going to, so yeah. I guess he could come out and say he didn't.
Oops, yeah.
I slipped. I forgot.
It was all that snow on the ground.
Right? I don't know. They got a record amount of snow, so I think that perhaps maybe seeding Mother Nature isn't the right idea.
Well, yeah. It's certainly not the right idea for people in West Moscow.
Yeah.
You got one sample. You really need, you know, 10 years or 100 years of data.
Right.
But, thanks for the follow-up.
I don't think he'll be a mayor for 100 years myself, but that's besides the point, I guess.
Well, it depends on the policy. If the policy runs for 100 years, then we'll think everybody in Moscow's an idiot. But.
Right. So, Max, yesterday was a historic day.
Yesterday was a historic day.
And I know you wanted to comment about it, so
well,
let's
I just
have at it.
I don't have a big rant planned, and
what a surprise!
the healthcare bill was passed yesterday amid all sorts of accusations, and I came out against it in my blog, as you probably know, because. One, I didn't think it went far enough. I believe we should have a one-payer system where everybody's covered. I think there's too many tricks and traps in this bill. And the other thing is it just – at the time, I was opposed to it. They were planning on processing it by this deem and pass process, which I'd heard at one time has never happened before. But later on I heard that it's happened several times and the Republicans have used it. So I don't know. I'm a fairly observant person of politics. I pay attention. But the minutiae of parliamentary procedure escapes even me.
Uh-huh.
You really have to be an expert to know whether this kind of stuff has happened before or not. But I have to say that having seen it, be successful, despite all of my qualms against it. I feel like saying yay, you know, yay for President Obama, yay for the United States. We finally did something good for the American people. And while I think this bill is flawed, I think it's better than not having one. It bothers me that we've gotten to the point where Republicans not only are digging in their heels and dead set against it, But they're out and out lying. There's just flat lying about what's in this bill and how we got here. For instance, the abortion amendments. I heard before the whole Stupak concession that historians I heard a news report where they asked an expert, and he said, no, this is not going to provide federal funding for abortion. Then to kick it off, they got Stupak, who I think is a deeply flawed individual, and I saw a thing on Rachel Maddow's show about how he's living in this.
He's one of the guys. He's one of the guys in the C Street house.
In the C Street, $600 a month.
Yes.
In what should be a $1,600 or $1,200 apartment.
Absolutely.
So that's imputed income is the technical term. It's free rent or partially free rent.
It's illegal.
It's illegal, and it should be he should be hauled up on charges at least. But at any rate, he finally gets concessions from the president, executive order saying, I will enforce this the way it was intended, the way the Hyde Amendment has always – and they just go out and out lie again. In fact, they call Stupak a baby killer, which he's a lot of things, but he's not that.
Right.
So they say it's going to cost more money. The Congressional Budget Office says it's going to save $1.3 trillion over 10 years. I just think it needs to be noted that this is an historic win for the president, and that's really all I have to say.
Okay, can I make a few comments?
Absolutely.
Okay, number one, I was fascinated by the process.
Oh, yeah?
I found myself watching it. The only thing missing was a little popcorn and some pop.
Yeah, you know, you're not the only one.
It was really interesting to watch it happen.
I talked to my boss and this Republican person at work, and they both apparently were watching it.
It was better than watching the Olympics.
Yeah, it was fascinating. You know? Your government at work. It reminds me of the expression that people should never watch sausage or laws being made.
I can understand that. And I agree with you. I mean, it was just interesting to watch the Republicans come up during the debate time and just lie.
Yeah.
Flat out lie. And the lies early were worse than the lies later.
Is that right?
Yeah, earlier in the evening when there were just a few people in the Capitol.
Yeah.
Some of the lies were just like whoppers.
Yeah, I keep hearing Don in the back of my head going, the bigger the lie. And I never did know what the follow-up line is to that, but it's like the more convincing or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, so that was great. That was real interesting to watch that.
It was fascinating. Either way, whatever side you're on, that was interesting.
Right. The second thing I just wanted to comment briefly, I don't know if you saw my blog today.
I did not. No, sorry.
I wrote an article about the situation that happened this past weekend with the two black representatives being spit at and called the N-word, and Barney Frank being called faggot when they were entering and exiting the Capitol building. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it. I did not read the story. I haven't read your blog. Penguin Droppings, by the way, for those of you out there interested in checking out a really good blog. And as long as I'm on the subject, the Penguin writes really well, people, and it's worth reading.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
I just wrote that I was, for the first time in a long time, I was embarrassed to be an American.
It's disgusting.
When I heard those stories. I really was. You know, I'm all in favor of people having the right to protest. It's what makes this country great. It's what makes this country the country that it is, the ability to do that.
Right.
But to act in such an idiotic cruel manner. There's not words that can describe that. And at the end of the blog, I basically apologized to the three representatives and told them not to, you know, that I hope that they continue to do their work. You know, these are elected officials. These are public servants. And nobody should ever be subject to that, especially not.
Right. John Lewis, for God's sake. John fucking Lewis.
Who crossed the bridge in Selma, right?
Right. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
I want to go up to him and apologize on behalf of any decent thinking American. That is really repugnant.
Right. And I know that a lot of Republicans are trying to distance themselves right now from from the teabaggers. And, you know, basically what I said, another thing that I said in my thing is that this shows just how ignorant the teabaggers are as a group. You know, it's an indictment of our education system that these people are so, you know, I was just indignant.
Of course.
I really was. That was another thing that bothered me all weekend. And that's, I think, why I took such joy last night in watching it happen, despite all of that.
Sure. Yeah. Right or wrong, as a political theory, it is utterly unacceptable. Those stories that you just told, it's beyond the pale.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, John Boehner and all those other Republican, for lack of a better word, assholes.
Yeah.
They can just kiss my little behind because of that now.
And this is from the Penguin, who doesn't usually go out there on the asshole limb. Seriously, I think it's significant. It's abhorrent.
It
makes me think, and I hate to say this, but that there is, and people are going to laugh because they're going to go, duh. There's a certain amount of out-and-out racism in the political opposition.
Oh, I agree 100%. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that is in fact true.
And that makes me ashamed.
Yeah. Well, enough of politics. Let's play a game.
All right, let's play a game.
I got a quiz for you. I know how much you like movies.
I do.
I know you're a big movie buff. You see a lot of them. And I've been watching or reading a blog that College Boy told me about called Mental Floss.
Uh-huh.
Where they do a lot of, you know, they do a lot of games and trivia questions and stuff like that. And I saw this quiz, and I said, this quiz has Max written all over it.
Okay.
All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two actors or actresses' names.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me which of the two has never been nominated for an acting or Oscar.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So I'll give you two. You tell me, and then we'll go on. So I'll start off real easy.
All right.
All right. The pair is Donald Sutherland and Sean Connery, who has not been nominated for an Oscar.
That's easy?
That's easy.
I'm going with Sean Connery.
No, Sean Connery was nominated for The Untouchables.
I didn't know that.
Best Supporting Actress. I'll go for another reason.
Actor.
Right. What did I say? Actress? No, Best Supporting Actor. I'm sorry.
Sean Connery, man.
Another easy one. Bruce Willis or Harrison Ford?
Oh, it's got to be Bruce Willis.
Right. Harrison Ford was nominated for?
The Hunt for Red October?
No, The Witness.
Witness, okay.
Okay. All right. Now we'll start to get a little bit harder.
All right.
All right. Jim Carrey or Dan Aykroyd?
Jakers. It's got to be Jim Carrey, because Dan Aykroyd, I think, had a part in a widely popular movie called Driving Miss Daisy.
You're right, and that's exactly it. Aykroyd did get nominated for that. All right, Kevin Costner and Jeff Daniels.
Wow. Got to be Jeff Daniels because of Dances with Wolves.
Very good, you're right. All right, now this one I found really hard because I have trouble telling them apart. Randy Quaid and Dennis Quaid.
Oh. Well, I can tell them apart. And Dennis Quaid plays in a lot of sort of everyman roles, and Randy Quaid kind of goes out on a limb. You know what? I'm going to say that the person who did not get an Oscar nomination is Dennis Quaid, although he's probably acted more and in more serious roles.
You're right. It was Dennis. Randy Quaid was nominated for The Last Detail.
Wow. I've never seen that.
I've never seen it either.
I've heard it's a great movie.
Okay. Another tough one. Richard Gere or Bill Murray?
I think Bill Murray was nominated for my favorite movie. So, and Richard Gere can't act, so it's got to be Richard Gere.
Okay, your favorite movie is?
The Last Temptation of Bill Murray.
Lost in Translation?
Lost in Translation, yes.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
All right, now a couple of women actresses.
Okay. That's my favorite kind of actress, by the way.
Right. Melanie Griffith or Meg Ryan?
Wow. Meg Ryan did that great orgasmic scene. And Melanie Griffith played a serious role and got a nomination, and I can't remember what it was for.
Working Girl.
Working Girl.
Okay. And
right again.
The last one. This one's right up your alley.
All right.
Reese Witherspoon or Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett got a nomination for the movie about the painting, I think.
No, she did not.
No?
No. Reese Witherspoon got nominated for being June Carter in Walk the Line.
Oh, yeah.
Scarlett Johansson has not been.
So that's two I got wrong, though. I did pretty good.
You did very good. You did better than I could have.
And I know what it was. The Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Yeah, a story about a painting of a peasant girl in, like, the Netherlands. And she was magnificent in The Girl with the Pearl Earring. You should watch it. Very subtle movie.
Uh-huh. Okay, I got one more thing for you that you're going to like.
Okay.
You know how I've been reading that website, the Book of Odds?
Yeah.
Well, they produced this one, and I thought this was great.
Okay. Right?
According to their scale, the odds of becoming a movie star are 1 in 1.5 million.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you are more likely to, one, be struck by lightning.
Really?
The odds are only 1 in 185,000.
I thought it was 1 in 3.5 million.
No, 185,000.
Wow.
Now, that maybe it's 1 in 3.5 million being killed by a lightning strike. But
maybe.
But being struck by lightning is 1 in 850,000.
You've ruined my argument against the lottery now, because that's what I always said.
Uh-huh.
Your odds were the same as winning the lotto as they are being struck by lightning.
Being cryogenically frozen. Your odds of being cryogenically frozen are 1 in 880,000.
Yeah. Now, that scale has to change with income.
It probably does.
And whether or not you're a member of the Ted Williams family.
Right. Okay. Another thing that's more likely to happen than you becoming a movie star is you being both having syphilis and being too young to drive. The odds of an adolescent 10 to 14 having syphilis is 1 in a million.
Is that all?
Yep.
Wow.
And the fourth and final one is being on the United States no-fly list. The odds right now of somebody being on the no-fly list is about almost 1 in a million right now.
Yeah. I'm still working on syphilis. Not that I have it, I just...
That'll make the cut.
There's your snippet. And I hope to get it someday. I'm floored. I don't know what to say. I'm struck dumb.
I used to have an English teacher in college who said, if you don't know what to say,
say nothing.
Say quack. I don't know why he said that, but that's what he used to say.
Did he quack a lot?
No, because he always had something to say.
Always had something to say. Yeah, yeah. You won't hear me quack a lot either.
I'm sure. Let me see. I've got one other little tidbit, and I know that you have a rant.
I do.
Just a real quickie.
All right. Okay.
Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales was being interviewed by a website, and they asked him what was something really strange about Wikipedia that most people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And this is what he said. He said that in China, Well, he said that he has been getting pictures from cell phones of people who have gone to China to visit, and they eat in a restaurant, and on the restaurant's menu, it will say...
Dog.
No, it will say something like stir-fried Wikipedia or barbecued Wikipedia. And he said they had a staff meeting, and he brought it up, and they were trying to figure out what the why that was happening. And all they could figure in the meeting is that when somebody, because China is really going through, you know, wanting more tourism and stuff,
right?
They are spending a lot of time and money doing things that make it a little bit easier to visit, especially with the Olympics and stuff there.
Right.
And so they are translating menus into English so that people who don't speak Chinese can read them. And that somebody would say, what is the name of this dish in English? And somebody would respond, I don't know. Look it up in Wikipedia. And so that – and then I was read the story to College Boy, and he said, well, you know what an interesting fact is? If you look up something on Google
– yeah.
And if you're using Google Chrome – Wikipedia pops up regularly.
Yeah.
And it appears as in, like, for example, let's just say you looked up Mu Shu Gai Pan.
Right.
The answer, number one answer would be Mu Gu Gai Pan dash Wikipedia dash a Chinese dish of whatever.
Yeah. And so they find the Wikipedia as the source and right. assume it means chicken.
It means that's chicken. Right? So I thought that was a great, great, unknown, little known fact.
Yeah, I think I told you once before about a long time ago, Brian pulled out from the Usenet a list of foreign sayings in places where Americans visit translated into English. And my two favorites were, thou shalt not go up the stairs to the place of repose in the boots of ascension, when they were talking about a ski lodge where you weren't allowed to wear your boots up the stairs. And my favorite one of all time was, I think it was a French one, but it might have been Chinese, I don't know. But it said, our wines leave you nothing to hope for. So it just kind of goes along with the translation thing.
That does. That's funny.
Yeah, our that wines really leave you is. Nothing to hope for.
I had a little run-in with that just recently. I don't know if you noticed, but there have been a few
You've gone to Las Cruces recently.
No. I wasn't even going to bring that up.
Oh.
Our website has been hit by a bunch of bots.
Is that what those are? I saw that. In fact, I meant to ask you about the international flavor to what's right. going on. Yeah, with Turkey, Spain.
It's picking up like keywords that are written in the writing that I write, and it's showing up for whatever reason. But anyway, there was one in Japanese and there was one in Chinese, and I used Google Translator to figure out what they said.
And what did they say?
The one for the Japanese was a advertisement for a male sex product.
No.
And the one in Chinese, which I just looked at today or yesterday, was one of those like what you shall not wear the boots in your ascent to the whatever, which I thought was pretty funny.
The boots of ascension in the hours of repose.
Right.
The next time you write a caption, put International Monetary Fund, and maybe we'll get some cash out of the deal.
There you go. Yeah. All right, we're coming down to the home stretch here, Max. What's bugging Max tonight?
Well, this won't be as spontaneous for you because you heard it last week, and we had some editing problems and didn't go in. But I want to put it in again because it irritates me that much. The other day, last week, I saw – on SportsCenter that Albert Pujols had gotten his first two hits of this spring. And in behind the talking person, they showed a clip of Albert Pujols pulling into second. They also said he had a walk, so it's possible it was just advancing a base. And he slows down, he gets to second, he kisses his fingers, and he looks up to the sky as if to say, thank God for getting me to second base. And it just drives me nuts that this person is thinking that there's anyone, I don't care if it's his Aunt Margaret Mary, if there's anyone in the sky that is worried about him getting to second base in a spring training game, he's out of his goddamn mind. There is just no chance that there's anyone in the sky, I don't care who you are, Sammy Sosa, whoever, I don't give a shit. There's nobody in the sky looking out for you, buddy. I'm sorry. There just isn't.
Well, everybody knows, Max, that God is way, way too busy with the Final Four and March Madness to be looking at spring training baseball. I mean, come on. It's common sense.
And if you're looking at the 64 teams, you got to figure God has a sense of humor.
Sure.
Because she's fucking around up there.
Yeah, talk about your brackets being busted, huh?
I'm telling you.
It's just been an amazing tournament.
It has been an amazing tournament. It's been very weird. Oh, I didn't tell you. On CentSports.com the other day, I made a four-team bet, and I got them all right. Made $1.50, I think.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I had Duke, West Virginia, Syracuse, and Cornell in the same bet.
Wow. Speaking of Cornell, the red – what is their nickname? The red –
the big red, I think.
The big red or something. They are – they've been amazing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I just had a gut feeling. Of course, I've had a lot of gut feelings and lost a bunch of pennies. CentSportsOn.com bets virtual pennies. But I got to say, I hit one four teams, $1.50.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yep.
It was the Cornell one that really that did it, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Cornell over Wisconsin, an 11 over a 3 or something.
Right. College Boy was just here this past week. And
and he's going to stop by with a beer for me?
No, he didn't bring them because he screwed me up again. Every time he changes his rules all the time.
I think
what he's going to do.
College Boy doesn't want me to have beer.
It may be. I mean, you may have to talk to him directly.
I think so.
But he, you know, obviously being an Ithaca's college student, I was wondering if there was a lot of jealousy because Ithaca and Cornell have a big rivalry.
Big rivalry, yeah.
And he said that no, that everybody at Ithaca is pulling for Cornell, that this is a big
– Oh, that's interesting.
Biggie. Yeah.
Because he told that story about the guy from Cornell basketball and cutting the line at the men's room and
right.
I don't remember it now, but I remember it was a funny story.
For sure. Well, listen, we have about a minute or two left. Do you have a couple of yogis to send us out on?
I do, and unfortunately I'm going to inflict them on you. I was kind of hoping that Manhattan Man was here so we'd have a new one, but I have to go through these again because they need to be put out there in the public interweb tubes.
Okay.
All right. So the first one that we had last week that we're going to have again is, if you don't know where you're going, you will wind up somewhere else. And the next is, if you can't imitate them, don't copy them. We don't know.
We don't know. That's a tough one.
And of course, the classic, when asked about a pizza he was going to take home and how he wanted it cut, he said, you better cut the pizza in four pieces because I'm not hungry enough to eat six. And of course, the ever popular baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical.
Right.
Which
I remember last week I said to you that I had heard at least once before a sportscaster say, you know, that it's 50% this, 50% that, and 50% something else.
Right, right. So as long as you're allowed 150% of something.
Well, you know, I always say that I'd like to give 110% if I can.
And you know how much I love that.
I do know. So that.
All right. It was impossible to get a conversation going. Everyone was talking too much.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I said that one last week. I think you did.
Okay. I think you did.
He says, slump, I ain't in no slump. I just ain't hitting.
Right.
And we talked about how you can't admit.
You can't admit, because if you do, then you're giving into it. You might as well just
Right, and that brought up my old roommate Mark, who said that if you think you might be getting sick, you will get sick, and the only way to never get sick is to not believe that you can get sick.
Right.
And
which I don't buy. But
I've had trouble with it, but Mark was certain then. I'd love to know what he thinks about it now. Yogi once said, "A nickel isn't worth a dime today," and it was true then. It's still true.
He probably still has the first nickel.
and like we always say with Yogi, sometimes it's what he says is true. There's nothing
Absolutely.
Wrong with it.
Yeah,
the nickel isn't worth a dime.
Right?
Still today, after all these years. And the final thing we talked about last week was nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Right.
Now,
classic. I mean, it is a classic.
It is. And I think that's yours and my favorite yogiism. But I did hear, I happened to watch, and I didn't get the pen and paper out enough, because they had a bunch of more. They do Yankeeographies on the Yankee Channel. I don't know if you get that up there.
I don't get that here, unfortunately.
Well, they did Yogi Berra this week on Yankeeography. And they told another one that's not in the list and that I just love. Way back when Yogi was a kid, they asked him, and I didn't bring it upstairs now, I got to make sure I remember it correctly. They said, "Yogi, don't you think about anything?" And he said, "Think? I don't even suspect anything." You can't make it up.
No. You know which one you forgot?
What did I forget?
You brought up last week. You forgot the one about when his wife asked him where he wanted to be buried. Because he was born in St. Louis, he played for the Yankees, and he lives in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And said, "Where do you want to be buried?" And he said,
"Surprise me."
Surprise me.
And that's great. I'm sorry. Jeez, I thought I had everything marked off on the list.
That's a great one. I love
it. Oh, yeah. Surprise me.
Surprise me. Well, on that note, Max, a good laugh.
We love Yogi. We dedicate this episode to Yogi and all the yogiisms out there. I guess that's about it, huh?
That's it. Have a good night.
You too.
And talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shipwreck free, though I respect that a lot. I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason, I'll